Welcome once again to Good Hope Through Grace. I'm Pastor Jeff Arthur, Sr. of the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. I'd like to draw your attention tonight to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And what we're doing on the broadcast now is we're teaching through the book of 1 Corinthians, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And tonight we're in chapter 3. We've done finished chapter 1 and 2. If you'd like to go back and listen to those messages and you have a computer, you can go to www.ghtg.org, www.ghtg, that's the initials for Good Hope Through Grace, .org. That'll bring you to our church website, and you can get some information on our church directions. If you'd like to come and visit us, or a number you can call to get directions, and we'd love for you to come some Sunday morning and visit us. Just tell us you listen to the radio broadcast, and we'll be glad to hear that, certainly. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is where we're at, and we're going to be covering, well, hopefully the whole chapter. If we don't cover the whole chapter, then we'll just finish it next week. We're going to title the message this evening, Babes in Christ. And one of the problems the Church of Corinth had is that they were not maturing spiritually. When you're first saved, when you're first born again, you're just like a baby. A spiritual baby, and then you are to grow spiritually. But the problem was the Church of Corinth were showing evidence of still being babes. They should have matured, they should have grew, but they weren't doing so as they should. So that's going to be the focus this evening, babes in Christ. And you have to ask yourself that if you're listening to me and you're saved. I don't know how long you've been saved, but there should be growth in your life. There should be spiritual maturity that you can see. So we're going to deal with all these issues tonight by looking in our text. Let's begin. 1 Corinthians 3 and the verse 1 says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as unto spiritual Christians." Now, of course, if you're saved, you should be spiritual. There should be maturity there. You should be spiritual in your deportment and in your conduct. How you live should be spiritual. You should care and mind about spiritual things. I tell you, folks, it's bad at how many claim to know Jesus and claim to be saved. Of course, we know no one's heart. But at the same time, they're not spiritual. They don't talk much about spiritual things. And they don't seem to have much of a spiritual appetite. And I'll tell you tonight, folks, a genuine new birth should produce in you a spiritual appetite, an appetite for spiritual things. You shouldn't have to be tricked or bribed to come to church. You should come to church because you want to hear God's word and you want to worship Him and grow as a result of listening to His word. So the Church of Corinth, he said, "I couldn't speak to you as in the spiritual." And that's a shame when you're talking to a church and you're telling them that I couldn't speak to you as into spiritual. They weren't spiritually mature whatsoever, and they weren't spiritual in their conduct. He goes on to say, "But as into carnal," the idea of carnal is they were fleshy. They were fleshy in their actions. They were fleshy in the way that they were living. They were a fleshy congregation. I'm sure not all of them was, but for the most part, probably the church as a whole was very fleshy. He says, "As unto babes in Christ." Now that's our title that we picked, babes in Christ. They were still acting like newborns, and they hadn't grew in the spiritual. They hadn't grew into spiritual maturity. He says in verse 2, "I fed you with milk." Now, milk is just the basic teachings of the Word of God. Just the basic teachings. And they hadn't progressed off the basic teachings into more complex and deeper teachings. Now, the Apostle Paul mentioned these things to the Hebrews also. They were in the same kind of condition. They had not matured as they should as Christians. They were still babes when they should have been more mature and able to take deeper teaching and display more spiritual conduct. they were still babes in Christ, and they were still acting like babes. Let me read this to you. Hebrews chapter 5. For when for a time ye ought to be teachers. This is for Hebrews 5 and verse 12. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again. That which is the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not a strong meat. You know, just thinking about in the spiritual, in the physical realm, you take a little newborn baby, all they can take in is milk. They can't eat meat. And that's why is that? Because they're too small. They haven't grew. But as they grow and as they mature, then they can go off milk onto baby food, and then they go off baby food into eating off the table over time. And as their appetite changes and what they can eat changes, they grow and they get stronger and they're able to do more. So he's just using an illustration. He said, I fed you with milk, and you're not able to have the meat. Says in Hebrews chapter 5, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full of age, and even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now let's go back to our text in 1 Corinthians 3. So Hebrews refers to them. The people that Paul was writing to in the book of Hebrews refers to them as being babes, had not matured spiritually to where they could take in the more meatier things of God's Word. And when you're a babe in Christ, you act more like a babe. You're more fleshy. You're more carnal. And you're not as mature as those who have grew to the meat. Now it says, I fed you with milk, verse 2, I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither ye now are ye able. They still hadn't grew, he says. It had been a while since he had established this church, but even at this point now, he wasn't able to give them any strong meat yet, because they just weren't ready for it. Now, that's one thing you need to remember. You need to make sure that you don't try to give a T-bone steak to a baby. People need to grow. There are certain things people need to hear before they hear other things. And you need to recognize that. Sometimes in a congregation, that's a difficulty for a pastor. You teach the Word, but you got to let those that are newly born again, you have to tell them you're not going to understand everything. Because you're trying to feed everybody whenever you're teaching. You're not going to understand everything, but you will pick up some things. The Holy Spirit will take His Word and show you some things from the pulpit. And certainly I pray, folks, that you go to a church that the Word of God is the priority. That needs to be the priority. It needs to be the focus of every church service, because the Spirit uses the book that He authored to bring salvation to the sinner. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, to cause growth to the Christian. How do you grow from being a babe? How do you grow from being a babe to being on the meat? How do you grow and mature as a Christian? Well, the Apostle Peter, under the inspiration of the Spirit, told us how we do that in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2. And in the verse 2, he tells us what we need to eat, a good steady diet of what we need to eat in order to grow. In the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, it says, as newborn babes, desire the milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. You see, this word desire is a strong desire. You have a little newborn baby, they have a strong desire for the milk. And when someone's had a new birth, when someone's really been born again, then they're going to have a desire for the milk of the Word. And I love to see that. I love to see when someone gets saved, and then you see them sitting in church every service because they have a desire to learn. and a desire to hear it. There's a desire for the milk. You got to admit, when there's a loss, even in the physical realm, when someone doesn't have an appetite for spiritual things, when someone doesn't have a desire for the Word, folks, there's something wrong. In the physical realm, when someone don't have a desire to eat, you go to a doctor today and you have something wrong with you, one of the things they'll ask you is to ask you about your appetite. Because if you don't have an appetite, it's a sign that something's wrong. Well, that same thing is true spiritually. You should have a spiritual appetite. And what happens sometimes is people just don't have that. That's why they don't come to church like they should. That's why they don't read their Bibles like they should. They don't have an appetite for it. And there's every excuse in the world to cover the real reason why that they don't come or they don't read. The bottom line is they don't want to. And if someone has a spiritual appetite, then they're going to want to read God's Word. And they're going to want to also hear God's Word, unless they're sick. Unless they're sick. Sometimes people are sick physically and they just aren't able. And certainly the Lord understands that. But in a normal case, and there's a new birth, then there's going to be a desire for the milk of the Word. And then there will be a growing process to where you grow spiritually. And then you can have the meat of the Word. So the problem with the Corinthian church is that they weren't maturing. They came behind in no gift. If you look at chapter 1 in verse 7, it says, let's go ahead and read verse 5, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, so that ye come behind in no gift. So they had great spiritual gifts there in the church of Corinth, but at the same time, they never had spiritual maturity. He goes on and shows the sign of their immaturity, that shows the signs that they were babes and carnal, fleshy. And it's given in verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 3. For ye are carnal, that's fleshy. For whereof, and it's just the opposite of being spiritual. They weren't spiritual minded as they should have been. They weren't seeking, or their conduct wasn't spiritual. Let's put it that way. And he goes ahead and addresses that with them in this verse. This verse gives the evidence of their immaturity spiritually. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy, strife, and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? So when the evidence of their immaturity and the evidence that they were babes and the evidence that they were carnal was that the church was filled with envy, jealousy. They envied one another. They envied, for instance, one another's spiritual gift. There was an envy, and we spoke about it in chapter 1. They had divided themselves up under different preachers, and we're going to meet that here again tonight. He's going to address that issue with them again. You had a Paul division. You had a Simon Peter division. You had an Apollos division. Then you had others that said, well, we're just following Jesus, but they really weren't. They were just a part of a different sect there. They weren't truly following Jesus as they should, or they wouldn't have been mentioned as a division. The fact that they were mentioned is a fact that it wasn't a true following of Jesus as it should have been anyhow. So they were carnal. The church was filled with envy and strife. They were fighting amongst themselves. They weren't waiting for one another at the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 6, they were suing each other in the courts of the land to settle their disputes instead of settling it amongst themselves at the church. This would have been a hard place to worship at because of the division. And one of the things the devil will try to cause in a church is to cause division. Psalms 133 and verse 1 says how good, how sweet it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's a beautiful thing to behold for a church to to have unity, more can get done. And one of the things Satan will try to do is to break the unity in an assembly and cause a bunch of division and cause a bunch of strife. It's not a good place to be whenever those type of things happen. And he can tear a church down from within that way. So the envy and the strife and the division was a sign of their immaturity. They had great spiritual gifts, but at the same time, that wasn't a sign of their maturity. The envy and strife and the division was a sign of their spiritual immaturity and was a sign that they were carnal babes in Christ. Carnal babes in Christ. They weren't growing. Now, sometimes we use that terminology today. We'll see someone that's acting in such a fashion and we'll say, you know, they're acting like a baby. Well, sometimes people in churches act like babies. They don't display the maturity that they should display because they're filled with envy and strife and causing division. Now, again, how do you grow? How do you grow as a Christian? By taking in the Word. By taking in the Word. The Word of God is your spiritual food. And as you take that Word of God in, then the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to cause you to mature as a Christian. So you have to have the book. And I've said it over and over again, especially in the book of Corinthians. Churches need to focus on the Scriptures. We have a tremendous benefit as we have the whole book, Genesis through Revelations in our own language. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. What could you do any better than to proclaim the teaching of the book? And the Holy Spirit uses that, as we said, to save sinners. He uses that to cause spiritual growth. He uses that to comfort. He uses that to help you in your Christian life. So that's where it needs to be. That's where the focus needs to be. Now, he goes on in the verse 4. He says, well, he talks more about the divisions that they had. Well, one says, I'm of Paul. Another says, I'm of Apollos. Are ye not carnal? Now, he asked this question, and we already read this text once when we dealt with the divisions in chapter 1. He mentions again, who is Paul? I think that's a good, humble expression. Now you're to respect your preacher. He's over you in the Lord in the sense that the position of pastor, teacher, is he instructs you out of the Word. But you don't worship a man. And in many cases, you have cases of preacher worship. He's just a man. That's why Paul says, who's Paul? Why did you divide up under my name? Who's Paul? And another says, I'm Apollos. Are ye not carnal? Who is Paul? Who is Apollos but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I mean, the Apostle Paul, I mean, behind the scenes, you know who sent Paul there? It was God. You know who sent Apollos there? It was God. Do you know who brought about their new birth? It was God. God's the one that deserved the glory for everything. So instead of being divided up under different men, they should have been united under Jesus Christ, under Him. Jesus is the one sent them. Jesus is the one that saved them. Let's go ahead and read further. Who is Paul, but who is Apollos, but ministers by whom he believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now, I want you to listen to that just for a little bit. And this is what it's saying, is that you don't owe your salvation to a man. Now, Paul said that he planted and watered. Now, that kills hard shellism, to be honest with you. It's important that you teach the whole counsel of God. And God is the one that does the saving. He mentioned in chapter 1, in verse 28, that God had chose them. Verse 27, but God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Verse 28, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. So he mentions the fact that they had been chosen. Verse 24, chapter 1 mentioned that they had been called. And he called them, this is a call to salvation. 1 Corinthians 1:2 says that they were called to be saints. Why did he call them? Because he chose them. Now we've done covered these issues before. Well, is that hard shell, is it? No. God calls through the means of the preaching of his word. He uses the ministry of the word. We are ministers and we give out the message. And then the Holy Spirit uses that message to draw with it and to call with it. There must be the preaching of the word. 1 Corinthians 1 says it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. He could have played the gospel on a tape recorder up over the heavens so where everybody could hear it and bring the gospel to his people. But he's chosen to use his people to share it, his church to spread it. One of the reasons he established the local church was to spread the gospel in their area and then to seek to reach the uttermost parts of the earth with the gospel. So he uses means. So you have people that plant. I mean, sometimes at the church I pastor, sometimes people will come and they, of course, it's a great day when they come and they say, Jeff, I've trusted Jesus today. I've been saved today. Well, there might have been someone told them the gospel 10 years ago. They planted that seed 10 years ago. And they thought it never produced anything. Well, it planted a seed. And then you just don't never know when it's going to grow. So Paul said, I planted the seed. Then Apollos come by and watered it. But God's the one that gives the increase. In other words, it's just like planting a field. You can go out in your backyard if you want to have tomato plants and you can plant tomatoes. And you can plant and then you can water. But you know who causes those plants to grow? God does. Same thing in a church. When people get saved, they get saved because God's the one that opened their heart. You look at Acts 16, it talks about Lydia, a seller of purple whose heart the Lord opened. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, it says that he hath given us an understanding to know him that is true. John chapter 6 and the verse 44 says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. The Lord works. He's the one that causes the increase. He's the one that causes people to get saved. He did more to make it possible. He saves. Well, the Apostle Paul's addressing with them that they were making too big of a deal out of their preachers. That's why he said, who's Paul? Who is Apollos? They're just ministers by whom you believe. We plant, Apollos watered, but God's the one that gave the increase. So neither is he that plants anything, neither is he that waters, but God that gave the increase. That's why he said in chapter 1, if you're going to glory, glory in the Lord. He's the one that done the saving. He's the one that gave the increase. He's even the one that sent us here. God's the one that deserves the glory for it, see. So, they were a carnal, fleshy, babes in Christ. And then the evidence of that was that it's making two. They were filled with envy and strife and division. They were choosing up under their different preachers. They were making too much out of their preachers. Not saying you shouldn't respect your preacher. But you shouldn't worship him. He's not the one that saved you. And if you're learning from him, it's actually the Holy Spirit that's using him to teach you. So who gets all the glory is the Lord. That's why 1 Corinthians 1 said, if you're going to glory, glory in the Word. Glory in the Lord. All right, let's read on. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that plants anything, neither he that waters, but God that gives the increase. Now he that plants and he that waters are one. That is true. That is true. They're one. They're working together. They're working for God. One may plant. Paul may have planted. Apollos came by and watered, but they were one in Christ. They didn't have their own particular division there. They were all working together to get the gospel, the true gospel to people. He goes on to say, for he that plants, he that waters are one, and every man receives his own reward according to his own labor. Now, there's an accountability to the Lord. Every preacher, actually every servant of the Lord, one day will give an accounting of his life that he lived for the Lord. It's not to determine his salvation, but it is to determine, the reward for his service. So every servant is accountable. The parable of the pounds, you can read that in the Gospels. The parable of the talents indicates today that his servants will be called and give a reckoning for their life that they lived. Now, my friend, you're saved by the blood of Jesus, and you're saved by the righteousness of Jesus, but you're still accountable to serving. And the service is not to determine your salvation. If your works is what's saving you, then it's no longer by grace. You do your works because you are saved, because you want to please Jesus, because you're saved and you love Him. Your works has nothing to do with the salvation of your soul. They are evidence that you've been saved. There'll be fruit. There'll be a fruit of salvation if it's real. But my friend, the basis of your salvation is Christ. His blood cleanses you from your sin and His righteousness. There's a song we sing, The Solid Rock, which it says this, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. So He said, he that plants and he that waters are one, work together. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's husbandry. You're His tillage. You're like a field there at Corinth. You're like His field. Ye are God's building. So He likens them to a field that God had planted and had come up, and they were growing up to the Lord. And then He calls them God's building there. Matter of fact, He says in, and we'll look at this next week in verse 16, that they were a temple. They were a temple there at Corinth. They were a church. A church is a spiritual temple. God's Word, the Holy Spirit dwells in a special way there. God's Word is taught there, and God's people gathered there, and they needed to be one in Christ instead of so divided, which was a sign that they were still babes in Christ. Well, we're out of time. I pray that the message was a blessing to you. And I pray that your service for Jesus, that you would grow in it by taking in the Word of God. It's been Good Hope Through Grace. Pastor Jeff Arthur, thank you so much for listening.